What do you call the evening if it's not dark? It was midsummer and 9 p.m. The sky still held light in a way I wasn't used to, and I couldn't unwind until the clouds released it. I'd tried to explain this to colleagues at the John Radcliffe Hospital. In Sydney, we only really have two seasons, hot and sunny, and less hot, still sunny. I appreciated the getting to here, the Thames Valley turning of the seasons, autumn when the leaves became golden and really did fall, spring when the bald skeletons of street trees exploded with coloured petals, small armies of daffodils erected where once there had been only grass. The months here marked time in a heavy-handed way, forced us to appreciate what of it we had. In the depths of winter, my husband and I slept longer and longer. In the morning, I had to rub the backs of our children to wake them, an incomplete hibernation. I'd never noticed before how programmed humans are by the sun, how we rise and fall with light, like sea monkeys. But summer created its own challenge. I didn't feel tired until midnight, and then before 5 a.m., the sun cut through the room like a blade. Some nights, I only clocked 4 hours sleep. We bought thick blackout blinds from the hardware store and installed them ourselves. Every time I lowered them, I thought of Al Pacino in Insomnia, taping the edges of his blinds to Alaskan windows in the small town of Nightmute. In the film, it's summer, and Pacino is an out-of-town detective unable to sleep in 24-hour light. Robin Williams played the villain in that movie. I grew up watching Mork and Mindy after school on the wicker couch of our sunroom. Williams's Mork stood outside his egg-shaped spaceship in bright colours, speech racing, effervescent. I found it hard to reconcile Mork being performed by the same actor as the sinister, hermetic Nightmute writer. The transformation seemed to personify how insomnia could leech colour, turn sitcom into noir. I knew the syrupy nausea of long days on no sleep, the heart race of overtiredness. I pulled the blinds down to their limit. I wasn't going back. The birth of my second child, my daughter, was not like that of my older son. My first labour broke my body open in new fault lines. With A, it was as if I'd walked down an already trodden path. She was born into the world, rounded, pink and screaming, a noisy peach. The problems started later, after the flowers and gifts subsided, the onset insidious in the hours of the night, rising to feed the baby, rising to comfort the toddler. With my husband away with work, there was much rising and falling. My children were a garden that needed tending to around the clock. Time began to lose meaning. The number no longer mattered, only what needed to be done. One night I lay in bed wide awake, and it felt counterproductive to try and fall asleep. Better to stay alert for the next cycle of comforting, rather than be jolted from sleep feeling groggy. When I was a junior doctor, I worked hospital night shifts. For a week at a time, I'd arrive at 10:30 p.m. for handover, then spend the night reviewing patients and recharting medications, fluids and analgesia. I wore a small black pager clipped at the waist, and when it beeped, the screen lit up green with the ward I was required on. Sometimes I had to run. Once I climbed on a bed to give CPR. Once I had to assess someone's neurological observations in the early hours. A nurse handed me an oversized yellow flashlight, like the ones used when people had to go into mines or a forest. When I approached the patient, he was asleep. The beam of my light hit his face, and before I knew what was happening, he'd woken and swung his arm out to punch me in the head. To this day, I'm unsure how I managed to dodge it. There was no elation like the feeling of finishing a week of night shifts to crawl between clean sheets for the first sleep afterwards, knowing the pager had been handed off and is someone else's responsibility. Breakfast tastes better, the shower feels hotter, the sky looks more beautiful at the edges. During my last term as a junior doctor, I went up to the roof terrace of the hospital. I took a photo of the dawn breaking over the beachside suburb. Sunrise after my last night shift ever, I captioned it on Instagram. Being a new parent is a bit like doing night shifts after the day shifts, only it doesn't end after a week. I'm so tired, I told my friend, who also had children. Oh, I know. I tried to tell people how I felt, but somehow it was interpreted as the punchline to a joke or a motion of camaraderie. I'm exhausted. Me too. I was so fatigued I was coming apart at the seams, but in a way strangely undiscernible to other people. It was as though I was speaking into a deep well. Sleep was my Achilles heel, my Samson's hair. A lack of it over time formed kryptonite. My need for rest was all I could think about. Without it, I couldn't function. I hungered for it. I'm physiologically tired, I tried. The words travelled down, and in the end, I was their only listener. They returned to me with centres slightly loosened.